Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, Check Your Neck. Based on our gospel reading, and yes, it has something to do with this. Check your neck. Listen again to these key verses, these hard verses from Mark chapter 9. Jesus said, Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands and go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into hell. Again, our title this morning is Check Your Neck. I encourage you to follow the sermon insert, the blue half sheet with the sermon outline written upon it. Why such shocking words from our Lord Jesus? Cut off your hands, cut off your feet, pluck out your eyes, tie a heavy stone around your neck. Why such shocking language from Jesus? It's because people today, it's because we today need to be shocked. We need to be awakened to see how serious and how destructive sin is in our lives. You see, contrary to today's society, God takes sin seriously. Today in our world, sin is winked at. And even the word sin has all but disappeared from our modern vocabulary. Instead, we hear about such things as lifestyle choices or personal freedoms. And maybe, just maybe, if someone is caught in the act of wrongdoing, then our world today talks about a momentary lapse in judgment or a moment of weakness. And by all means, to be open-minded, to be politically correct, don't you ever say the word sin in public life. But not so with God. Note the graphic words in this gospel reading for today about hands, about feet, and about eyes. Graphic, shocking, poetic language. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your feet causes you to sin, cut them off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If you cause someone else to sin, tie a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea. Jesus, what are you saying? Please note, Jesus is not saying, actually go out there now and cripple yourselves. No. He's speaking in these graphic words to say, take sin seriously. And avoid it, because sin destroys people's lives. Now, what is this millstone that he talks about? Listen again to verse 42. Jesus said, Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the depths of the sea. The millstone is a large, round stone driven by the power of a donkey that walks in a circle. And this large round stone is rolled over a flat stone to crush wheat into flour. And even though Don's brick was pretty impressive, the size of a millstone is about the size of the car that you drive. It weighs hundreds of pounds. And Jesus says these words, listen again, whoever causes one of these little ones to sin who believes in me, it'd be better for him that a millstone were tied around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than to let God get a hold of him. What's he saying? Sin is serious business. God wants us to take sin seriously. One of our problems, though, is this. We so easily note the serious sin in the lives of others, but don't look at the sin in our own lives. Oh, we see terrible sinful people. I've listed a few there. I should have listed my name. Oh, we think of Jeffrey Dahmer, that man who murdered so many young men and then desecrated their bodies. We think of Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka from Ontario who tortured and killed these teenage girls. We think of someone like Adolf Hitler who's responsible for the death of millions of people. Even we consider well-known biblical people and we say, boy, we know people who really have sin in their lives, but notice what we're doing, one finger at someone else, three come back at ourselves. We consider King David. You remember David? He committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. And by deceit and cunning, he had her husband Uriah put to death. And then David continues to live like a king, like adultery and murder are no big deal. You see, David then, and we today, like to look at other people's sins, but not our own. So God sent Nathan the prophet to King David, and Nathan tells David this parable. Listen as I read to you words from 2 Samuel 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, there once were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb. He raised it, it grew up with him and his children, it shared its food, drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep to prepare a meal for the traveler. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to that poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. And the text says all of a sudden David is upset and he's in arms. He's upset with the sin of that man in the parable. And here's what the text says about David. David burned with anger and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deed deserves to die. He must pay for what he's done four times over, because he did such a horrible thing and had no pity. And then Nathan holds up the mirror of God's law to David, and listen to what the text says. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. And David was caught. So upset he was with the man in the parable, Nathan said, you're the man. You have stolen someone else's ewe lamb. You have taken this man's wife. You have put him to death. You deserve what you say. He needs to be put to death. David was caught. He had no escape. Now let's take a look this morning, honestly, into the mirror of God's law as we consider our own lives. No longer shall we say, I know people who are sinners. We're looking at the mirror of our own lives. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we look into the mirror of God's word, each one of us here this morning must confess, Lord, I have sinned with my hand by the things I have done. I have sinned with my feet by the paths that I have walked. I have sinned with my eyes by the things I have lusted for and coveted after. And Lord, not only have I sinned, I have caused others to sin and stray away from you. My goodness, my friends, the millstone should be tied around my neck and around yours. My friends, check your neck. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." What are wages? Wages are the payment we earn and deserve for the work that we've done. You put in a good day's work, you get your paycheck, it's the wages you've deserved. The scripture says, the wages of our sin, the payment we should receive because of our sin, is death and eternal separation from God. In fact, the Bible tells us we are that man. In 2 Samuel 12, Nathan's words to David. And Revelation 18 speaks even more about this millstone judgment. Listen to what it says. "With such violence, the millstone is thrown down into the depths of the sea, never to be found again." My friends, if we are honest with ourselves this morning, we have no escape. Check your neck. Do you feel the weight of your sin and the millstone? Well, now that God's law has got your attention, His sweet gospel is ready to be heard. Because wonder of wonders, note your sermon outline, point number 4, here is something amazing. The millstone, that is our millstone, has been tied around the neck of Jesus, your Savior. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has become sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to these precious words. "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." God the Heavenly Father tied the millstone of our sin to the precious sinless neck of Jesus. Jesus bore your sin. He bore my sin. He bore the sins of the world as He hung upon that cross for you and for me. He bore our sin. He became our sin. He took God's judgment upon Himself, and He died, and all that He did for you. Yes, you. And through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, your millstones have been untied. Jesus has risen from the grave. It might have been Friday when He bore the millstone, but Sunday was coming and the millstone was untied as He broke through the grave and said, "Because I live, you who believe in Me shall live as well." Through Jesus' Easter resurrection victory over sin and death, your millstone has been untied. Your sin is paid for. You have been made righteous before Almighty God. Your millstone is gone. My friends, check your neck. The millstone has been untied. Go ahead. Check your neck. It's gone. Your sin and your burden has been taken away. Would you listen carefully as I say to you, you no longer need to bear it. As a pastor of this church, I well know there are so many people there who are bearing a heavy load of guilt or shame or sorrow. My friends, check your neck. You have been set free. You no longer need to bear that heavy millstone. He has borne it for you. You are forgiven. Check your neck. How do we begin every Sunday service of worship in this place? We begin with what's called the confession and the absolution. Absolution is a famous Latin word which means washing away. We confess our sins to God. We lay before Him all of our millstones, and we are absolved as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. Your sins have been separated from you. Though your sins be as scarlet, says Holy Scripture, Jesus has made them as white as snow. You have been set free. Every time we have confession and absolution, I would be pleasantly surprised if I'd see some people do like this. The millstone is gone. My friends, check your neck. At every service of holy baptism and holy communion, because in these sacraments of God, God gives us visible signs as the water is poured, visible signs as you receive the bread and the wine, the precious body and blood of Jesus, that your sins are forgiven. In these sacraments, God says, your sins are forgiven. Your millstone has been removed forever. In Alberta, just a few miles south of where Beverly and I used to live, is a nice little town called Wetaskiwin. I know you know it, Clarence, because your brother lives where we used to live in Bev, in Leduc, just south, is Wetaskiwin. Wetaskiwin is a Cree Indian word for hills of peace. Let me tell you how the town got its name. When the first Christian missionaries came to that area, they were fiercely opposed by a Cree chief named Maskipotun. This chief at the same time was also fighting a very fierce battle with another tribe called the Blackfeet. But through the loving work of these missionaries, Maskipotun became a follower of Jesus, a Christian. Soon after, his father was murdered by a member of the Blackfoot tribe. Maskipotun rode into the enemy camp and demanded the murderer be brought before him. When this was done, he said to the murderer these words. They're recorded in history books. Maskipotun said, "You have killed my father. Now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse. You shall wear my best clothes." Maskipotun had the right to put the murderer to death. In the words of our sermon text, he could have tied a millstone around his neck and thrown him into the sea. Instead, he removed the millstone from that man's neck. He forgave as he had been forgiven by Jesus, his Savior. My friends, you have been forgiven by Jesus, your Savior. You can now live as God's child by forgiving and serving others. Your millstone has been removed. So, check your neck and give thanks to God through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.